Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to speak your word to us, that we would hear your word, that it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. As we pray this in your Son Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please be seated. Who is Jesus? Not subjectively, like what do you think about him, but objectively, truly, who is Jesus? We've entered the season, a new season of the church year. Epiphany began on January 6th. So Jesus is born, that's Christmas, and then we have a season focused on who he is revealed to the world. And so for the rest of this season, we're going to be looking at who Jesus is revealed to be so that we can know him and worship him and put our faith in him. This, we are told in God's word, what we believe about Jesus, putting our faith in who he actually is, has eternal consequences. So let's look together at how Jesus is revealed to the world, who he is revealed to be. So if you would turn with me to John chapter 1, it was in your bulletin, read just a moment ago. John chapter 1. So Jesus is calling together his close group of followers, his disciples. And in this chapter, in John chapter 1, we read about Andrew coming to Jesus, and then Andrew turns around and invites his brother Simon Peter, and then Philip is following Jesus, and then Philip goes and invites Nathanael to come follow Jesus too. So verse 45. Philip excitedly says to Nathanael, "We have found the one Moses in the law and the Old Testament prophets wrote about. We found the guy. His name is Jesus, and he comes from Nazareth." To which Nathanael quips snarkily, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, I know I'm going to start a fight with this one. I'm okay with that. This would be a little bit like today, someone coming to us and saying, "We have found the one we've been waiting for that is going to save the world. He's from the University of Alabama." To which we respond, "Can anything good come out of Alabama?" I know we have Alabama fans and alumni here. You just deal with it. You're in Georgia. But that's Nathanael's response. Can anything good come out of that place? And yet he comes to meet Jesus anyway. And Jesus supernaturally knows something about Nathanael. And Jesus simply says to Nathanael, "Nathanael, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." It's interesting. It doesn't actually necessarily say that he was under a fig tree when Philip found him. This actually could have easily been something at some earlier time. But whatever it was, Jesus told Nathanael exactly what he needed to hear. Whatever it was that was going on under that fig tree, whenever that happened, Jesus saw. We're not told what exactly that meant to Nathanael. It might simply have meant that he was under a fig tree when Philip found him, and Jesus showed that he knew that, even though he couldn't know that. But I kind of doubt that based on how much his life was changed by this encounter, by the fact that Jesus knew that. It could have been that there was something under the fig tree that Nathanael kind of wanted to hide, something you shouldn't have been doing under a fig tree. It could have been a moment of pain or questioning. Whatever it was, Jesus saw, and Nathanael needed that assurance. Jesus sees you. You may need to hear that in an area of sin, an area of sin that God sees. Jesus may say to you, "You know what you're doing in the bedroom? I saw you. What you're doing on the internet? I saw you. What you did on your taxes, the way you treat your spouse, I saw you." And when we repent and come to Jesus, he still welcomes us. You may need to hear that he sees you in that moment of pain and anguish, when you fell apart on the bathroom floor because that happened to you, convinced that God is not there. And you may need to hear from Jesus, "I was there. And I saw you. you are not alone. Whatever it was that Nathanael needed to hear, Jesus knew. And so when he hears that, when Jesus responds to him and shows that he saw that event, whatever it was, Nathanael internally collapses and suddenly, out of the blue, acknowledges that Jesus is, verse 49, Jesus truly is the Son of God, the King of Israel. Whatever it was that Jesus knew and saw, that was what Nathanael needed to hear to know that the man in front of him truly was God's promised Messiah, God's promised answer to the world's problems. And so Nathanael blurts out that God's purposes through God's person are coming true. That's what it means. God's purposes through God's person are coming true. That's what those titles mean. The Son of God, the King of Israel, were terms for the Messiah, the Christ, whom God promised would come and would put the world right. Jesus, you're that one. If you saw me under that fig tree, if you know about my fig tree moment, you must be it. And Jesus replies to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And then to the group of the disciples, he turns to them corporately and he says, truly I say to you all, it's plural now, you all will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Heaven itself will be opened. The gateway to God is opened. And using an Old Testament image, you will see angels going up and down on me, Jesus says. Jesus says, I am the very place where heaven and earth meet. I am, to use our phrase for the day, I am the sacred intersection. I am, Jesus says, I am in myself the very meeting place of God and humanity, of God and man. Jesus is revealed as the sacred intersection. So back in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 28, one of the patriarchs of the Israelite people, Jacob, if you've heard Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that guy, Jacob, has an experience of God in a dream. And in that dream, he sees heaven opened and a great ladder coming down and angels ascending and descending on that ladder between heaven and earth and that particular spot where he is. And Jacob understands the specific place where he is a special and unique place where heaven and earth meet. And when he awakes, he says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't even know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. God's house is the gate of heaven. The spot where the angels ascend and descend is where heaven and earth meet. This is the sacred intersection between God's place and our place. And when Jesus says that they will see angels ascending and descending on him, he is saying that he is the house of God. He is the gate of heaven. He is the unique place where heaven and earth meet, where God's kingdom and our world connect. He is the sacred intersection between God and us. He is the ultimate house of God, the gate of heaven. No one comes to the Father except through me, he says in another place. The house of God. The Bible calls the temple the house of God. The temple of worship is where God intersects with our world in a special way. So we read today in Psalm 63, verse 3, I have looked upon your holy place, that is your temple sanctuary, that in that place I might behold your power and your glory. And Jesus is calling himself the ultimate temple, the ultimate sacred intersection where God's presence and his glory is experienced in Jesus. I saw you, Nathanael, and you will see so much more than that. You will see in me, Jesus says, the intersection between heaven and earth. Jesus is the new temple. He is himself the new house of God. And so in this event, Jesus is revealed as the sacred intersection. And then that reality of who he is then points us to two marvelously significant realities. Because he is the intersection between heaven and earth, in himself, that's who he is as God incarnate. The first one is, as we are connected to him, we are therefore united with God. As we are connected to Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, we are united with God himself. And then, as we are connected to him, we actually then extend his presence out into the world. Because Jesus is the sacred intersection, as we are connected to him, we are united with God himself. Jesus is God incarnate. He's not just a teacher or a king. He's God incarnate, the second person of the Trinity, true God from true God, as our creed puts it. So our connection to Jesus means that we are being connected to God himself. He is the true temple. And as we are connected to him, we are connected to God. And the Bible then tells us that we actually become, if you will, little temples because of our connection to Jesus. As we're connected to him, God's presence fills us. So in our reading from 1 Corinthians 6 today, we are taught that as Christians, our bodies become a temple of the Holy Spirit, places where God actually dwells. So Jesus is the new temple, maybe capital T temple. And then because we're connected to him, we actually become lowercase t temples where God dwells. We become intersections where heaven and earth meet, not because of ourselves, but because of the one to whom we are connected. He is the intersection, and as we are connected to him, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we too experience that connection with God. So I'm the dean here. That's just Anglican cathedral language for being the pastor of the cathedral church. So I am your dean, the lead pastor. But one of you likes to come and ask me about my three-year-old son, and you call him your mini-dean. So you come and ask me, how's my mini-dean? And I actually think it's a lot like that. So I'm the dean, and he's the mini-dean because of his connection to me. Jesus is the temple, and we are the mini-temples because of our connection to him. As we are connected to Jesus, we are filled with the Holy Spirit and connected to God. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 6 we read today that we're told that we should not unite our bodies inappropriately in inappropriate sexual activity, because we are connected to God and he fills us with his Holy Spirit, and we should then never misuse God's temple and unite it sinfully. Because we are connected to Jesus in faith, we are connected to God, so we should never unite our bodies inappropriately sexually as a result. Jesus is that intersection between God and our world. As we are connected to him, we too become intersection points where we are truly connected and united with God. So that's one of the implications of what Jesus says here to the disciples. Angels ascending and descending on me, he says, as you are connected with me, you are connected with God. And then a second implication for us is that as we are connected with Jesus, we then actually get to extend his presence out into the world. Through the Holy Spirit, God takes up residence in our bodies. He is still the God of the universe. He is not miniaturized living in me, but he fills us with his very real presence in our bodies themselves. He is the new temple. He fills us as we are connected with him. He makes us temples, and we extend his heavenly presence out into the world where we are. As Christians, you are filled with the Holy Spirit and become, as it's saying in 1 Corinthians 6, we become physical places where God's presence moves out into the world. So when you go into the grocery store, You are quite literally carrying the presence of God into that store. That may change the way we think about grocery shopping. When you volunteer in the nursery, you are quite literally carrying the presence of God into the nursery to those children and their families. When you visit a hurting friend in their home or in the hospital, when you take communion to the sick or the shut-in, you are in your own body carrying the presence of God to them. Through your connection to Jesus, you carry the presence of God out into the world. When you volunteer in our new nursing home ministry that holds services in the local nursing home and goes into the memory care unit where so many people are simply forgotten, you are literally carrying the presence of God to those precious people. When you serve in a new prison ministry and you physically go inside to be with prisoners and guards, you are carrying the presence of God with you because of your connection to Jesus. And that's part of why gathering together is so important, to continually reconnect and revive our relationship with God, to receive from Him. And then, having done that, we move out into the power, with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to be our sort of little temples, to be our little connection points out in the world. We come together in God's house to renew and revive our connection to Him, to receive directly from Him at His table, together to give Him praise and worship, and then we are sent out, filled with the Holy Spirit, as movable temples of the Holy Spirit, to extend His palpable presence to people out in the world. As we are connected to Jesus, the sacred intersection, we are connected to God. And as we are connected to Him, we actually extend His presence out into the world wherever we go. Jesus says to Nathanael and the other disciples, "You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on Jesus." Jesus is the intersection between heaven and earth, where God's kingdom and ours meet. So as we are connected to Him, we are in fact joined to God Himself. And as we are connected to Him, we carry God's presence with us out into the world. So may you always trust in Jesus and continually be connected to Him in faith. Put your trust in Him and be filled with His Holy Spirit and go out into the world carrying His presence with you wherever you go. Jesus said, "You will see greater things than these. You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on Jesus, the sacred intersection." Be connected to Jesus and you too will see great things. Amen.